I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome once again via Skype to another edition of the SmackDown After Show. I am Josh Tariff. We got most of the gang here with us this week. First off, hailing right now from the east side, I guess I can say it, the east coast. It is Miss Gabby Laurent.
Hey guys, coming to you from Tampa, Florida. What's up?
And also hailing from, where the hell are you right now, Bryant? I don't even know.
San Diego, 2 hours away.
California, it is Brian Santos.
Hello, got my Uso shirt on, ready to talk to you guys about some SmackDown.
Right, and Tom is off this week. We will get back with him, but we got another SmackDown to break down as we inch closer and closer to WrestleMania. And we inch closer and closer to getting ready to watch a show that, quite frankly, I just want to watch to see how the hell they pull it off at this point. I'm just more intrigued of that than anything else, really.
I think by this week, I was just so ready for this whole situation to be over and for the audience to come back in.
Seriously. I think they made a good job of, like, Nikki. I think she was able to kind of, like, balance it out. We talked about this before of like having nobody in there. It sounds weird, but I think Nikki Cross was just hilarious on commentary with Michael. So like, it was kind of okay for me this week, but we'll see.
She is kind of a one-man audience at this point, isn't she?
Yes.
So we kick off this week's show with Bayley and Sasha. Now, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but has Bayley and Sasha kicked off every SmackDown in the Performance Center so far? I feel like they have. I feel like
I don't know if they have done everyone, but I think this week was good. I like that they kicked it off. I find it interesting when the females are the first to start off any show.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're talking, they're angry about Paige from last week. And Bayley mentions, well, they're trying to tear Sasha and I apart, but there's no separation between us, right? Awkward pause, and Lacey Evans comes out, says that your mouth is as big as my hat. them's fighting words, I guess. They're interrupted by Naomi, talking about she has unfinished business with Bayley because of what happened at Super Showdown. And then Tamina shows up, says actions speak louder than words, attacks Naomi and Lacey, and Bayley and Sasha escape. So the main purpose of this was to try to make people remember who Tamina was and that she is vicious and that she should be a legit threat for the women's championship. Do we think they did that?
I think so.
Yeah, I love this. I thought this was a great promo. Lacey Evans killed it. I think she was really good with delivering her message. And then to have Naomi come out, Naomi's also very fierce right now. I love the comment she made about Sasha's wig. That was really funny. She's going to snatch it. And then I loved, yeah, Tamina came out next. She didn't do much, but like she definitely made the impression that, you know, she's a monster and she's ready to wreak havoc. That's how I felt.
For sure. And it reminded us that she was still employed by this company. So that was definitely good to see. And yeah, she just kind of kicked ass. So I loved it too.
Yeah, you know, I'm honestly kind of mixed on it. I mean, I get the purpose of it. And, you know, trying to make Tamina look, you know, like a legit threat. I feel like they did a good job with that. Lacey's promo to me was nothing in my perspective. I like Naomi. I
love her.
Like Sasha's, I did not like Lacey's. Lacey, like, she was saying stuff that we've already heard many times from her. And maybe it's just because I don't like the Sassy Southern Belle gimmick. Because I think she's better than that gimmick is.
Yeah, you've always said that.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm being a little too hard on that. But I'm kind of surprised that this didn't result in some type of match, whether it was just like Tamina versus Naomi, just some like match that involves a couple of the people in the match itself. But this was all that we had for this match tonight, which is fine. But when you need to fill time and you have the women there, might as well put a match in there.
Sure. Instead of just replaying that match that, of course, we're going to talk about later, didn't do anything for anybody, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This also reminds me a lot of, like, a reality show, Real Housewives, things like that, where there's a lot of drama, but verbal drama that turns physical. So I know that when we say we watch wrestling and we love wrestling, it's not only the physicality, but it's also because it's soap opera-like. And that's how I felt with this promo. I felt that I was watching a soap opera and it was interesting. So maybe for you, Josh, it wasn't as interesting because maybe you wanted to see more action going down. But I was fully satisfied with how they presented themselves.
Oh, no, I love good promos that have a stand on. I don't necessarily need action with it. My just thought is, because their roster obviously is very limited on who they have at the tapings, and if you're really trying to put over, whether you're trying to put over Tamina, whoever in that five, whoever you're trying to put over, it's like you have them there, might as well give them a match too. This way, people can still be reminded, not just how they talk, but, oh, we haven't seen Tamina really have a one-on-one match in like a year. Oh, she's strong. She's vicious. I remember now. Watch out, Bailey.
But let's keep in mind that they're shooting everything at the same time. So maybe they don't want to exhaust the wrestlers by doing so much in so little time.
That's a very fair point. And that could be the case. So, you know, I'm not saying, oh, they should do a 30-minute match here and then they'll tape this next 30-minute match or whatever. No, it doesn't have to be some epic encounter by any means. I definitely understand your point there. Moving on, Gulak versus Nakamura. So we were confused last week as to what the purpose of this match was. We got clarification. I think I might have been partially right from last week. I don't know. But pretty much, Gulak, if he beats Nakamura, Daniel Bryan gets a shot at Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship of WrestleMania. So it's to that point, to the extent that Drew Gulak doesn't even come out to his own music. He comes out to Dan O'Brien's music for some odd reason.
Twins.
They do look like twins.
They. I think we talked about that before also, that they totally could be brothers. Yes. On commentary during the match, Gulak, it was actually, I found it quite interesting, because you rarely see the babyface in a match work on a specific body part of the heel. It's usually the other way around, but you had Gulak working on Nakamura's knee the entire time. And I found it interesting that Michael Cole was complaining to Sami Zayn that you haven't defended your Intercontinental Championship yet. He's had it for about 3 weeks. How long did Nakamura have it, and how many defenses did he have? Like,
you're right. Brock Lesnar, too. Are we forgetting that he's still here?
But no, we're pushing. Sami Zayn, you haven't defended the title yet. I just won it. It hasn't been a pay-per-view since he won it.
Give me some peace.
Yeah. Eventually, Nakamura goes for the Kinshasa. Dan O'Brien pulls Gulak out of the way. Gulak rolls him up with the jackknife roll-up. Gulak pins the former Intercontinental United States Chan Royal Rumble winner, and Gulak gets the huge win, which then means Daniel Bryan gets the push. Bryan, what do you think of this match?
Well, I thought it was hilarious in the end when Sami Zayn was so furious that Daniel Bryan pulled him out of the way, and like that's literally something that, of course, he does every single week, which made it so much funnier that he's like, how could he do that? How could he pull him out of the way? And like, we're like, you just did that last week, didn't you? But it was really great. I like the match. And like you said, I guess it's so confusing that those two were fighting for, I guess, their counterparts to get the push or to get the matches, which was so weird. But I guess they're trying to do something different. But I guess it was cool. And I want to see this match between Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn, because I'm sure it's going to be amazing. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah. I think it could have gotten more time. I feel like it was very short. Lived, and I feel like we could have seen more from these two. We have Nakamura and Drew Gulak. Like, these are some great wrestlers. So I feel like there could have been a lot more brought to the ring. But I do like that they're emphasizing the storyline, and I hope that with this now championship title on the line, I hope Daniel Bryan has the opportunity to possibly get it, and then we can maybe see Drew Gulak turn. That's my ultimate like storyline that I would like to see.
No, I mean, I agree with that to an extent. Now, I don't know necessarily with Daniel Bryan winning the title per se, but I feel Gulak trying to, you know, be, you know, the smart one, all of a sudden he could, like you said, turn on Daniel Bryan. So like, you know, like I clearly I'm smarter than you think because I made you think we were friends and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Whether or not the title happens through that, we'll see, but I like where your head is at, Miss Loren.
This is what I meant to say last week, but I wasn't able to put my thoughts together.
It's okay. You got
our fans still loved it though.
How to write, you said?
You had a week to prepare and it came out all right. So there you go.
Oh, thank you. No, I think internal struggles. I have a lot of things going on in my head right now between everything going on, which I'm sure everyone else is feeling, but then also like health struggles that don't help either. But my thoughts are in a row. My ducks are in a row today. I feel on it.
All right. We're backstage. Ziggler is on the phone. Just chatting with somebody. And then Otis and Tucker try to get him. And last week, Otis was not able to be stopped by his tag team partner or the tag team champions and laid waste to everybody. Tonight, he is stopped by an agent and a referee. So they're keeping Otis and Tucker separated from Ziggler. Ziggler's the one to challenge Otis to a match at WrestleMania and to have his girl Mandy Rose watch it. So we were wondering if it was going to be single or tag. It's going to be a singles match. So Tucker's left out, Rude's left out. Are we okay with this?
Yeah.
Not really. I just think it ended in such a weird way. That's why I'm just like, I think it's even weirder that Dolph is the one that challenged, like you mentioned, because it's like, Why is he mad? Like, literally, he's the one that's doing everything to Otis. Otis should be the one like, I'm going to take care of you. And did you guys catch Dolph's little like one-liner when he's like, you're 18, right? I'll show you pictures of Mandy. I was like, oh my God, he did not just say that.
Yikes. This is what makes it interesting for me. I like it. I love where this is going. Plus, I'm speculating that I feel like there could be like a Sonya situation coming about, and Sonya could maybe getting involved with Ziggler upcoming. Maybe that will be WrestleMania. Maybe that will be next SmackDown. I don't know. But I'm really looking forward to something like that causing extra.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We get another little bit of this a little later on in the show. But I just think it's so weird. Like, I feel really weird for Tucker in the midst of all this right now because he's the one still, you know, just hanging out. And, like, Rude's not even in the picture right now. But Tucker's still there doing everything with Otis. And now I think Otis has had, like, one singles match on TV. And now he's getting the WrestleMania singles match against a former world champion.
Go, so, Otis!
Yeah,
I mean,
Otis, but
that's amazing.
Elias starts singing a song. He actually completes a song. He's on that little like elevated pedestal thing that they sometimes go to on NXT for things. A few weeks ago, a few weeks ago they had Ciampa slam Gargano off of it through a table, where at that point they made it look like, you know, it was at its regular height, which was like 10 to 15 feet. This time with Corbin attacking him, they made it look like he was at the like top of the friggin' ceiling and he plunged to his death. Because Corbin attacks him, knocks him off of it. You hear just a very slight thud when it falls. Like, not definitely the sound of a body hitting concrete. It was not that sound. And then the camera pans to make it look like it was this massive drop. And Elias is on the ground, barely moving. refs finally, and everyone starts getting over to Elias on, you know, trying to check on him. But to me, this just screams, we're not getting Corbin and Elias. We're going to have Corbin and Gronk.
Oh, you! I did not even think of that until you said it right now. So that's a prediction right there. I just thought that was a weird segment. But I love how Corbin is using that scepter, like Finley Shillelagh. Like, he is thinking that is, like, the greatest thing on earth. But I do agree with you that the sound was not very real. It's very artificial because I did not believe that was a fall or a thud. But I'm happy that...
Yeah, oh, Brian, you froze for a second.
I mean, Brian, I could jump in and my thoughts are... Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
There.
Oh, there you are. Come back.
Yay.
You're going to have to retell us what you were saying.
The last part.
The
scepter.
Elias. Oh, the scepter, yeah. I said I loved how he's using it like a Finley Shillelagh. That's fun. And that I wonder if Elias writes these lyrics because they've been quite funny recently. So it's just funny thing to see. And also the fall sound was very artificial, like you said. I did not think that was a fall or a thud. So that was a weird segment.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was really entertaining. I liked his song. It was a little bit of a false drop to me, like you said, Brian, but I'm okay with it because, like, we're dealing with unprecedented circumstances right now, and maybe they don't have all the ability to create, like, the best sort of, I don't know, fight scene. but ironically, this is WWE. But, yeah, I think that they probably have some hurdles, and that's probably one of them, creating something's bigger to seem like it's a more intense situation. I do like where your heads are at. I like that the idea, I think Josh, you said it, that Corbin could be fighting somebody else and that's going to leave Elias out of the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm based with the relationship that everything happened last week of Elias becoming buddies with Gronk. And Corbin taking out Elias, maybe Elias will not be medically cleared for WrestleMania because he was taken to the local emergency.
The local
you know what I was thinking? When they said this, I was like, wait, you realize if you're trying to also play into what's happening right now, they should not be bringing anyone to the local emergency center. There is no room. There are only coronavirus patients there. WWE is going to be infected, first of all. That was like the first thing going through my head.
Maybe he won't be medically cleared because he had to get checked. Getting knocked over, and then, like, while at the local medical facility, he got coronavirus. He is not medically cleared to compete.
Yeah, he's also gotten coronavirus, and now we cannot proceed with WrestleMania.
That is their storyline. I would not put it past them.
Oh my god, I thought that would have been so crazy, but that was just like the first thing going through my mind because you see all over the news and social media, like, don't go to the ER or the hospital unless it's an emergency. Like, you can, there's a hotline you're supposed to call when you think you have corona symptoms, because there's overflow, there's too many people, and the medical staff can't handle the amount of people coming in for like emergencies. So it was just funny that they were like, immediately, emergency center. Granted, yes, he did fall, but you know what I'm saying.
all right, women's action, Asuka versus Alexa Bliss. We already know this was Brian's favorite match of the night. Nikki Cross on commentary, and right off the bat, she made Michael Cole angry. You guys shows up, and she just runs and gives Michael a big old hug. And he's just like, social distancing. What are you doing? And I just thought that was, or Nikki Cross, like, there were moments during this match while she's on commentary that I was just like, this is hilariously brilliant. And they're making her look like she's completely out of her mind. And and then there were moments of just like, she is so lost right now. She has no idea what she should be doing. They both coincide together. And then the match itself was really good. A lot of dancing. a lot of the Asuka dance and Alexa and Nikki mocking the dance. And Alexa with the win with a DDT, which I'm not surprised that Alexa won the match because with the story that they're doing, it makes sense. I'm surprised she won with to do with something where Asuka was knocked out through the count of three and not like a roll-up or a DQ or anything like that.
Brian, yeah, I think I love the match too. I do agree. I was reading online about everyone talking about how, you know, she just pinned Asuka so clean and it was such an easy victory. I mean, it was an easy victory, but as opposed to someone like Becky, who's been trying forever and ever and a day to beat Asuka, Alexa just took her down like that, you know? So it was definitely a weird kind of moment. But like you said, they're trying to build to that Women's Tag Team Championship match, which I hope we're getting because I need Alexa to be a champion. And this also just solidified for me, I want Nikki to be a champion right there with her because she was so funny. Michael Cole, like you said, was literally like, who invited you? And she's like, I think it was approved. And then she just started doing all the craziness, clapping for the crowd, Lexi, Lexi. And Michael Cole was like, there's nobody in here. So it was a great match. It was fun. And I, like I said, in the top of the show, I think that Nikki really helped the match because I feel like it would have been a little bit stagnant without all that craziness on commentary. So.
Yeah, and I think it also was great that we set up a second championship match for WrestleMania. So that was exciting as well.
Well, the question is, have we really set it up? Because we have not seen Kairi Sane in a while. So is this going to actually happen at Mania? I mean, because I don't know. I mean, they're built it up to have it happen.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing more competitors.
I mean, technically anything can happen between now and then because we don't know what was filmed and what wasn't. So it's kind of, whereas this is a normally a live situation, so we don't have to deal with these types of things, but it's hard to even put a prediction out there because anything can really been changed last minute otherwise.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we then go for the next 30 plus minutes into what Roman Reigns can do at WrestleMania. And let's look back at his match with Triple H, WrestleMania 32, which is then followed by a brief interview with Triple H talking about the differences between Roman Reigns and Goldberg. This would have been all fine and good and all, except the day before this aired, all the news outlets broke out that Roman Reigns will not compete at WrestleMania because of what we've actually discussed on this show in the past, on concerns for him being he's gone through cancer, so he's more immune to possibly catching coronavirus. So he does not want to compete, and rightfully so. So my question is, they have a bazillion WrestleMania matches. They could have easily just took out the Triple H interview thing and put on some other WrestleMania match to fill this time and not... You had a day to adjust this. Gabby, why did they not adjust it?
Right now, this is a rumor, but a rumor that comes from reliable sources. A lot of WWE stars are breaking the news to the outlets and giving them the information that Roman Reigns will not be participating in WrestleMania 36 due to his issues with leukemia in the past and being immunocompromised. However, WWE has not put out a statement yet, so maybe they did that on purpose because they didn't want to release it in that way. And I mean, I have my own speculations on the situation. I think that, and we could bring it up in news rather, but I think that there's some shadiness going on behind the scenes, and maybe they don't want to expose Roman to anything that could be going on right now. Much.
Brian, what say you?
I do agree that they definitely could have just cut this match. And what they haven't done, I'm not sure about Raw. I kind of ended up with Raw, but I'm not sure if they played a previous women's pay-per-view match, which could have been something to fill that moment.
They did with Raw. Sorry, they showed Charlotte Asuka this past week before.
I wasn't sure.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they could have put any match, like you said. Maybe they just because Michael Cole cut that promo right after. I don't know. They're weird. He could have just done a voiceover from home and literally sent it in and put the audio over another match that they would be promoting. But it was fine, I guess, like Gabby said, to kind of keep this narrative going that Roman is still in this match. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done, you had the segment earlier as far as Daniel Bryan getting the shot of the IC title. Well, you know what? Let's go back to the WrestleMania in San Francisco, where Daniel Bryan won the IC title in a ladder match. Boom.
Problem solved. But keep in mind, they've already timed out how the show's going to go. So maybe with the time they had, they already accounted for the Roman Reigns match as opposed to the ones you're referencing right now.
Mm. And that's a fair point. But being that they have an extra day, they would have been able to gotten extra thing. Like if there was a few minute difference, hey, this guy filmed this promo. This guy, and they should be, if they have all those people there, they should be filming extra items just in case.
I feel like they're exhausted and there's limited people on site on hand to switch things around last minute. And let's be honest, if there's writers working from home, they're probably heavily distracted by family.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, while they were all there, like, let's go back to the women, for example. You had the five women there. You know what? You could have had each one of them, just in case they needed it, if for some odd reason something were to happen, each one of them is filmed a 30-second to a minute promo, just so you have it in the archives to use, just in case there was some weird adjustment on something and you needed extra filler. So.
In my opinion, I think that the talent they are using for these tapings that we're talking about, like SmackDown, the 27th, they're probably utilizing them and then releasing them as soon as they're done so that there's not too many people in the building at once, in my perspective. Oh, if there's not anything else that they have to do after, it's like, all right, you're in and you're out. Goodbye. You know, to prevent any other public safety health issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably just trying to have a quick turnaround.
You're probably right. Ziggler, we have Ziggler backstage again. This time is with Sonya. And you hear them mutter, everything is going to plan.
They're in cahoots. I knew it.
Yes. This makes me so happy. And then Mandy shows up. And when Mandy shows up, Sonya leaves. Since when does Sonya walk away from Mandy? And it's like Mandy shows up. Sonya, oh, okay, I'll catch you guys later. Bye. And Mandy shows up and asks, why, Dolph, are you doing this to Otis? I refuse to let you two fight over me like I'm some sort of prize. Ziggler apologizes. He's like, you know, you're right. I might have overreacted. But, you know, we'll do the WrestleMania match, and then it's done. And then she was happy. He booped her nose, and they walked on their merry little way.
It's funny. I didn't think about it until you brought this up. But what I'm thinking now, this is probably going to be a wild prediction, but I think that we're going to get some more development of the story next week with Dolph and Mandy, like Mandy seeing Dolph's true colors. And then at WrestleMania, Mandy is going to cost Dolph the match and Otis is going to win. I'm calling it right now.
I totally agree.
Like a week or two ago. Who could that
really?
He's thinking about himself. But either way, I agree with both Brian and Josh. If you said it too, I agree with you. I also think this could be the end of Mandy and Sonya as we know it, which is so scary and sad, you know, because she betrayed her as a friend, or she is betraying her if this is a situation that's really happening.
And it's the weird thing. We talked about this, like, back when this story really started, was we were all pretty much all set on whenever they were to break up, Sonya's going to be the face and Mandy's going to be the heel. But clearly, it's going to be the other way around. Mandy's going to be the face when this is all said and done, and Sonya's going to be the heel, which I find very interesting to see how Mandy does. Sonya, I feel confident she could do it either way. I'm really interested to see how Mandy does as a baby face.
I'd agree.
Mm-hmm.
Firefly Funhouse. The Lantern is talking to Bray, and he's creating the perfect recipe to destroy John Cena. All you need is one scoop of disappointment, self-loathing, some hot sauce for flavor, one helping of rage and resentment, and irrelevant, non-necessary opinions. And he drinks it. He loves it. He blends up his little he kills this that rabbit guy again. He kills him all the damn time. He turned into Kenny from South Park. And then from there, he announces that he's challenging Cena to a Firefly Funhouse match. So it won't be a match in the ring. It's going to be probably just a more colorful version of when he had his match against Randy Orton in the Wyatt compound.
That was weird.
Weird and not good. Mm-hmm. But so this one will happen in the Firefly Funhouse. Are we okay with this, Gabby?
I love it. It reminds me of when Randy Orton fought, who did he fight again? Was it Bray? The house?
Yeah, that's what I just said in the Wyatt compound.
Yeah. So that was amazing, and I loved it when that happened, even though it was kind of cheesy, but it was, like, really exciting at the same time. I would absolutely love to see a segment in the Firefly Funhouse. Plus, I honestly think that the creative writers on this are doing such a phenomenal job bringing these segments to life with Bray. They're super entertaining. Like, I'd much rather watch 30 minutes of Firefly Funhouse as opposed to a random match from, like, 3-4 years ago being inserted to eat up time. That's how I feel. This was genius.
Brian, what about you?
I agree too. I loved it. Firefly Funhouse is always fun. I didn't really like that Randy Orton match, so I'm going to see how this goes. Hopefully it's better. I thought it was weird just with the Randy Orton match, just all those weird projections like of the maggots and stuff. I was like, ew. I'm hoping it's not like that, but we'll see. But I think it's going to be a good match for sure.
All I'm asking in this Firefly Funhouse match is that we don't have the puppets somehow attack John Cena during the match.
I agree.
They're going to
jump. I wouldn't put it past them, though.
At him. I don't want the puppets attacking John Cena.
No, I think they'll be on commentary instead. That's what they're going to do.
I would be full on board for that.
That'll be fun. Yes.
Commentators for the match. I'm sold on that.
We're booking the best WrestleMania here.
You guys, is the Ramblin' Rabbit dead now because it was blended in the smoothie? Like,
it's every week.
So, like, it's coming back then again. Like, he's just going to create another Ramblin' Rabbit.
Guys, all the damn time.
Okay. I didn't know if the smoothie was, like, the end of, like, the end.
Who knows? Who knows at this point what they want? Main event, tag team match, New Day versus the Usos. The winner will get to face Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania. Miz and Morrison are on commentary, and they are the hashtag turtleneck tough guys. I don't have my Christmas Closet music set, unfortunately, but I didn't want it for the turtleneck tough guys. What I did want it for, though.
Bros on Christian's Closet's music. You're going to have to repeat.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed and have heard the story with the New Day's gear right now. So they debuted this gear that they wore on SmackDown at Elimination Chamber. And it's a paint-by-numbers gear. So it was all white, and it had different numbers, you know, like the kids think to color them in by each number. So each week, another number is shaded in, painted, or colored in. And the rumor is when the gear is complete is when Xavier will return. Like, it has X amount of numbers on it. So, like, each week, another number is colored in. Once the gear is colored in full, supposedly that's when Xavier Woods will be coming back.
Nice.
I think that's badass.
That
is badass.
The match in itself, we already know the four of them, Usos and a New Day. Anytime you give them a match, it's going to be amazing. The interesting thing, though, with this was because you had Miz and Morrison at commentary. They obviously would get involved. Caused a no contest. So then, naturally, there's no winner. Well, both of them get title shots. And by the way, it's going to be a ladder match.
Okay.
Brian? is it like, first off, where did the ladder come from in all this?
Seriously.
I mean, I'm not complaining because it's going to be fun, but where did it come from? Secondly, what were your thoughts on this whole final match and segment?
It's funny that you brought it up because I have changed my mind about Miz and Morrison. I know I talked about it last week when you guys are all loving it, and I did like it, but I thought that sometimes it was a little bit cringy. But I think now I'm seeing what you guys said. It's kind of cringy in like the best way. It's like such good comic relief. So I thought they were perfect on commentary as well. The match was great. Like you said, I love Usos and New Day in any way, shape, or form, and they were amazing together. And I guess this ladder match is going to be great as well, because now there's going to be six of them, which they should not be doing because social distancing, like Michael Cole said, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, the ladder will keep them at a safe distance.
Yes. Okay. About 15 feet.
And the ladder will be sanitized. The ladders all have to be sanitized.
Oh, my God.
They should just carry Lightfall wipes with them throughout the match. Flip it out. I think it's going to be great. I actually love the New Day, and the Usos always love them in a match together. And then add now in a Miz and Morrison, who are great on commentary, great wordsmiths. But I think they'll add comedy to the match because if we're not getting it from New Day, they'd be the second most likely people to bring that in. And I think it's just going to be super entertaining. I like that they're adding in the ladders for an extra dynamic to make it a little bit more exciting and dangerous, living life on the edge. So it should be fun.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm down for it because, again, I know the match is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I am curious because the ladder match, especially a match like a ladder match or like a Hell in a Cell match, whenever you have those big, oh my God, moments that happen, it's the crowd and the audience that make them seem even more devastating because mm-hmm. of their gasps and shrieks and everything. That's not going to be there at all. All we're going to have is the wrestlers' yelps and screams of pain when they go through the various ladder spots. And I'm just really interested on how that's going to come off from someone watching at home with there being no audience to respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's going to be interesting. So we're all going to have to tune in and see what happens.
That's right.
Yep.
Just like how everyone is still tuning into this right now because they know coming up right now is the wrestling rap with Gabby the Ram.
That's right.
Kevin Owens music. Okay.
I'm raging over here because Tom's not here, so I'm raging for him.
Yes.
So wrestling wrap for this week. We covered a lot last week, and like really the only new updates I'm going to go over now is going to be ratings for SmackDown Live for this week. And also the fact that, let's get into this first, actually. WWE's Rey Mysterio and Dana Brooke are quarantined, and this is quoted from a Forbes article, amid coronavirus pandemic, okay? So they're actually using the word quarantine. Now you understand this. We do know Brian Santos works on Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, and he was supposed to interview Dana Brooke, but that was pulled last minute, right? It was like right before the interview that you were supposed to do that she canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And this news broke, okay? So, obviously, WWE has been racing against the clock to tape WrestleMania 36, but all these changes are coming into play. So now we know that Rey Mysterio and Dana Brooke are both being quarantined ahead of that company, the company's big show, which is going to air on the 4th and the 5th. Now, we haven't had WWE really come out and say anything in regards to Rey Mysterio, Dana Brooke, or are now big rumors on Roman Reigns exiting WrestleMania. And my feelings on this whole situation personally is that I think that maybe Dana Brooke and possibly Rey have coronavirus, because why would people be using the words quarantined? Why would she not be able to do interviews even if she has a cold from home? Like, these wrestlers work sick. I said this in a previous, SmackDown Live show. I worked on Impact recently in Vegas, and when we did those tapings, we had an indie wrestler come in who had pneumonia, and she still performed. And granted, I don't think a lot of people were too happy with that, but these wrestlers, A, don't want to give up the opportunity to perform on a TV show, and I think, B, like, we didn't have Corona yet here, but it's the notoriety, the big deal of being at a WrestleMania. So, like, why is Dana Brooke being pulled and quarantined? Think about it. And I think that if she does have coronavirus, WWE is hesitant to announce anything or talk about it at all, because if they don't address it but say that she's homesick, or, you know, they, whatever it is, if they say something and they don't address the actual situation and the truth and it comes out later, it's going to look bad on them, because guess what? They're still performing and they're still utilizing their performance center to tape with multiple people in close proximity, not abiding by the laws of each county in Florida. So it's supposed to be essential businesses operating only right now, and they're technically not considered essential. So I think at that point, every WWE superstar would have to be on lockdown, because they'd all have to be monitored and quarantined for 14 days should they have been exposed to a Dana Brooke or a Rey Mysterio. And I feel like that's exactly why the rumors about Roman Reigns pulling out are true, because now that's being confirmed by Ryan Satin that Roman Reigns is not going to be performing anymore in this big match against Goldberg. And on top of that, Andrade also pulled out due to an injury, okay, guys? A rib injury. Now, yes, this could be true, but at the same time, he also wrestled Rey Mysterio on March 16th. So this is my conspiracy theory. What do you guys think?
Well, first with Andrade, not only did he wrestle Mysterio on the 16th, he also wrestled for this past Monday, where him and Angel Garza became number one contenders for the tag titles, and then supposedly got injured after they won the match. So it might have been a thing where, depending on the extent of the injury, maybe if WrestleMania went on as scheduled, he still would have been fine, but maybe things got turned. So now that tag title match, who knows what's happening with that. Mm-hmm. Going with Dana Brooke, I mean, we mentioned in the show, it's a 5-way elimination match for the women's championship. Well, last week it was a six-pack challenge for mm-hmm. the match. So they never brought her up. They never mentioned any type of replacement. We're just going to pretend like that whole Paige segment never happened, and because she brought her up in it. So yeah. It's just crazy. And obviously Roman, who was in one of the two main events, the main events are the two title matches, Lesnar and McIntyre and Roman and Goldberg. My guess was probably one night was going to be main evented by one of them and the other night be main evented by the other. The fact that that's not even going to happen, Goldberg's going to wrestle somebody else. It's just crazy how they're still not even mentioning the words coronavirus or COVID-19 on the show. They mention social distance. They're, you know, mentioning, you know, being clean, but they're not using the actual words, because if they say Dana Brooke's sick, all the media is going to go, well, she's sick. Does she have coronavirus? What's going on? How long has she had it? If they don't say anything, where did Dana Brooke go? Why is she gone? Does she have corona? Either way, they're screwed. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, okay, pick your poison, because either way, you have to address this in some fashion, because even if you don't address it, it's getting addressed.
Yeah. Whew. This is just a whirlwind. I think it's a whirlwind, and everything is just going. And like I said, WWE is just on this like time clock, time crunch. Everything is happening so fast. They're trying to get WrestleMania taped. Apparently it was taped already. Everybody out there, no spoilers, by the way. If you've seen them, don't share them.
Yes. In the live chat roll, on the comments on the YouTube page, don't put any spoilers if you know them. Some people want to be surprised. Sorry,
yes. Bro. You're good. I meant to say that at the top of the show, because I was thinking about it, because I saw some spoilers, which I did not want to see. Anyways, that's another story for another day. We'll see how this goes. You know, Dana and Ray, I mean, I'm hoping for the best. Of course, we're all hoping for the best that it isn't what we're thinking, but it possibly is. Andrade as well. I mentioned this to you guys when I texted you. I said Andrade's in contact with Charlotte, who's in contact with Rhea, who's in contact with everybody at NXT. So it is just going to be a nightmare. So we will see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I just want to reiterate to everybody watching that this is just my speculation, but please let us know in the comment section, not just in the live chats, but in the comment section on our YouTube channel. And, you know, what you think about this whole situation. Do you think they're just sick, or do you think there's something bigger going on? And, and what will the changes be? But with no spoilers. Thank you. So now to go into our next piece of news, SmackDown Live, the ratings fell 7.3% from last week. It had the lowest average viewership since December 13th of 2019. Now, this is incredible, you guys. So the show pretty much averaged in the 18 to 49 demographic 0.7 rating, which is down 6.7% from that prior week in that category. It fell behind a lot of the other programming and its competition. In my opinion, I just feel like people are maybe losing interest in, I don't want to say the storylines, but in what's going on and the action and all that, because there is no audience and maybe it's turning people away on this third week with all the changes leading up to WrestleMania and then the no audience factor. I think it's just a culmination of things. What about you guys?
Brian, you started this one.
I 100% agree that there's just so much going on. And I guess we have to just wait and see what's going to happen at WrestleMania because we're trying to make all these predictions, all these like inferences. And I mean, hopefully WrestleMania still works out. Like we said, we're kind of just watching to see the look might be. Everything is just happening so fast. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I do want to finish off my wrestling wrap this week.
Oh, I don't say anything about it. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Speak your piece.
Wow.
You're always the one cutting my wrestling wrap off, so I thought I had to rush here.
Well, we don't have someone telling us that we're already over on our time. So
fair.
What I was going to say on it, though, was the fact that we were intrigued and how you reported a few weeks ago in the first episode with the no audience, the ratings went up because so many people wanted to see how this was going to happen, how it was going to work. Now that they've seen it, and they might not be too thrilled about it, they're not watching. But then at the same time, when you realize there are no other sports going on, this is the only thing as close to sports as possible that is still happening, and the ratings are still dropping as we get ready for their biggest show of the year. And they're trying to hype it up even more by showing these extra Mania Classic matches, showing WrestleManias in their entirety on ESPN, that's alarming to me that, you know, of course, it's going to go back up a little bit once the crowds are back and everything's back to normal. But the fact that there's no March Madness right now, there's no NBA, there's no NHL, there's no anything else in the world of sports except, like, there'd be Olympic trials right now. Those aren't happening. This is the only thing, and people are not tuning in. And instead, they're all just watching Tiger King on Netflix, which you have to watch. It's a train wreck. Please watch it.
Look at my shirt, by the way, you guys. I didn't do that on purpose, but
I love it.
Hanging out with Joe Exotic.
He's a character.
Yes.
So funny.
But yeah, but it's I think this is very worrisome for WWE, being that they're literally the only option right now and the ratings are still going down.
Yeah. I think it's also probably due to the fact that everything, I mean, like you said, Josh, we've seen it once and it was cool, like the whole way they pulled it off in the Performance Center. But now that it's been happening this is about the third week, it's gonna go on 4 weeks, and then of course Mania will be the same way. They're probably like, okay, I don't need to watch it. And I, you know, even though we do the show, I just forward the entire recap match. Of course, I'm sure most people do that if you don't watch it live. So that's already like 30 minutes out. So that's probably some of the ratings that's been dropping.
That's a good point, actually. On the same way, I record it and watch it later. Yeah, well, let us know what you guys think on that too. All right, so our final story, I want to let you guys all know out there, if you're a Kevin Owens fan, rest assured that it has been reported that Kevin Owens has already taped his WrestleMania segment. So we should be safe. Kevin Owens should be in WrestleMania. No problemo there. Don't worry. We're all going to be good and super entertained watching WrestleMania 36.
KO Mania lives on.
Yes.
As we continue to live on in this wonderful world known as Skype, trying to bring these shows to you as best as we can. So you're aware, since WrestleMania is too big for one night And there will be two nights of WrestleMania next week. And because the SmackDown itself, most of it is just going to be build up for those WrestleMania matches. There will be no SmackDown after show next week because we're going to be busy watching and talking about WrestleMania. So make sure you keep talking to us on the YouTube page and various forms of social media because we'll follow up with you in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, Bryant, how can people reach out to you?
Yay! You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at The Bryant Santos. Of course, you can catch me on Women's Wrestling Weekly. And something super fun I want you to check out is a interview show I'm doing for AfterBuzz TV called Quarantine with the Stars. I'm interviewing three celebrities every single day, talking about what they're doing during quarantine. Check it out.
That's amazing.
Gabby.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gabby Loren TV and follow my YouTube channel. It's going to be youtube.com/Gabrielle Loren. And I'm posting my wrestling wraps on the weekly. So this week's already posted. Most of it we talked about here on the show, but definitely tune into that. Like, comment, subscribe to it, and show your support. Thanks.
All right. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. Please subscribe to my YouTube page. Some projects are in the works with that. So you want to subscribe so you'll be the first to know about that. As well as during this time, we're all kind of nestled up at home. If you want a message or you want a wrestling opinion, you want me to settle a debate for you, you can reach out to me on Cameo so I can settle that debate between you and your friend from long distance and tell you who is the best at whatever it is that you're arguing about. Because, you know, my word is gospel and it cannot be wrong. The Brian and Gavin know this. They're already aware that I can never. Right, guys? Right?
Yes. You're right about that prediction of Sonya Deville. Okay. So.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. We'll see you in 2 weeks for Bryant Santos and Gabby Loren. I'm Josh Tariff, and we will see you later.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.